Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, what's happening, everyone? Hope you enjoy the show that's about to come up. Before we get to it, just want to give you all a heads up about Redmen Plus, the ultimate Liverpool streaming service. If you want more Liverpool content, both in video and podcast form, head over to redmenplus.com, sign up, and you'll get even more amazing Redmen content every single day. I promise you will not regret it. It is absolutely fantastic. Hope you enjoy this show.
Hey everyone, it's the build-up show. Liverpool are playing again. Never stops, apart from the fact that in 2 weeks' time, it will. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is largely going to be determined by what happens in the football matches between now and then. Yes, I'm Paul Machin, Chloe Bloxham, Dan Club with me to talk about Liverpool-Napoli. Final group game of the Champions League. Liverpool have already secured their place in the knockouts. But up for grabs is, of course, top spot in the group. We'll have a little chat around that and whether we think Liverpool should be going for it or not. But the point is, Danny, we are. No time to rest, no time to sort of recriminate over the results in the league of late. Yeah, the games are still coming. The games are still coming thick and fast. They just need to get back on the horse again.
Yeah, we need to try to at least, don't we? I think right now that World Cup looks like a blessed release, doesn't it, to be honest? But yeah, you are right. Isn't that good change? A few wins back to back, which is something we just seem incapable of right now. It's like one bit of false hope and then we come crashing back down again. But yeah, normally these periods, we've said it a million times, like our peak, this when we're at the peak of our powers and we're just relentless. Now it just feels like everything's just a struggle, isn't it? Every time we do this, you know what I mean? But there, here we are again and got to try, haven't we?
Yes, we do. It's been a nice escape in European football of late. I mean, I said this on a couple of shows now, but like we beat City and then we lost to Forest and, you know, we won in Ajax and it was great. And then we've lost to Leeds. this is a little bit more of a concerning week. This was on paper always going to be our toughest week with Napoli and then Tottenham Hotspur to come close. But I mean, this is where we're at now. There can't really be any more shaking going on. There's not that many games left to play after this. We've got another week worth of football and then we're all having to figure out what our lives look like and that. And these lads have got to decide what they want this mid-season break to be. Is it a lot of deep soul searching? It probably will be that a little bit regardless. But if they can, I think what Napoli represents is an opportunity yet again, I guess, to kind of keep the wolves from the door. And by that I mean losing against shit teams or teams that are relegation fodder is really, really bad. But when you can beat good teams, it at least shows that you've got something about you still. And that's kind of where we're at this week, is that they've got two opportunities there to go and really remind the world that they're not absolute mugs. I know we've been here before. I can hear it in my own voice. Go on.
How many times have I said, oh, this could be the start of our season, the turning point? No. I think it's more annoying at the fact that we seem to be sound against Manchester City's. We put in a shift against Arsenal. There was a lot of individual errors. Mm-hmm. And we come out 3-2. It's more annoying when you can beat those teams and you can't beat the so-called smaller teams, because if you can do it against the best, why aren't you doing it against the teams that on paper you should absolutely, you know, go hammer on them.
Yeah.
And I look at this Napoli game and I just don't even know what to expect from the Reds anymore. It's graft watching us at times. And this World Cup, I cannot wait for it. There's going to be a lot less weekends ruined. I can enjoy my weekends of footy where I don't need to get so involved in things. As for the Reds, though, I guess they've just got to pick themselves up and go again. If they can do that, you know, it's one of those where I think the atmosphere has been crap at Anfield as well so far this season. I don't think Napoli midweek's going to help us because I don't think anything's on the line for me. I personally don't. I don't care about first at this point.
Well, I think that's the big debate around mm-hmm. all this, because what we've seen, what last week kind of showed us, is that we're really struggling to play at a high level 2 games a week. Like, really, really struggling with it. And there are obvious exceptions to that. The most recent one being going to Rangers and winning 7-1 and then beating Man City at the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I think the obvious thing here, Dan, is to kind of repeat that conversation. And we'll do our 11s in part two, of course. But, you know, most of us would have put a shadow side out against, well, in fact, no, tell it was the opposite. Everyone wants to go super strong against Rangers because mm-hmm. they were going, well, we are going to beat Man City, so, like, you know, just kind of throw the City game but win the Rangers game. We did what we always do. We doubled down on our normal policy. Mm-hmm. We decided Rangers weren't in our class, so we went with a weaker side and ended up wiping the floor with them, yeah, albeit via substitutions in a big way. And then we went and did the business at you know, playing Man City. Mm-hmm. This one feels like the bit of a bit of a flip where we're kind of like, well, who gives a shit about this game? Because if you're telling me we've got a choice, we've only got a choice of winning one, then we'd all be putting our eggs in the Tottenham Hotspur basket because we really can't afford to lose any more ground on them.
Oh, absolutely not. No, and I think that's kind of where I fall on it slightly. Like, I'd love to finish top of the group, and there's no doubt about it. Like I've said before, in previous campaigns, it hasn't mattered as much. It looks like it's going to matter quite a lot this time. So I really would want to finish top. But there's an argument to say that even if we did go full strength for this one, like the way we're playing right now against a Napoli side that is cruising Serie A at the minute, arguably the best team in Europe right now coming to here. So they've got a little bit of revenge to exact as well from what happened the last time they came to us on a final match day. So, listen, we could go full strength and not get the result we need. It's not just beating Napoli, it's comprehensively 3-0, isn't it? So, for me, I would be falling on, like you say, we'll come to this later, I'd be falling on that rotation side of things.
Yeah, well, just to go through, because you make reference to it there, just in terms of so people understand the permutations of the win, 3-0 will do it. Just be Napoli 3-0. But yeah, 11 different factors that you have to consider when deciding how tied teams advance. This is from AS. Number one is head-to-head. So points accrued in matches between both sides used to separate teams on points. Goal difference is number two. In goal difference in head-to-head games between the tied teams. Then goal difference in head-to-head games between the sides in question. Away goals scored in head-to-head games between the tied. Goal difference in all group stage games. Goals scored in all group stage matches. Away goals scored. Wins in all group games. Away wins in the group stage. Group stage disciplinary record. And then 11 is the current UEFA coefficients. So yeah, look, it's a bit of a mess, as we say. This is where we're at, though, Chloe, is the 3-0. Any other season, I'd be going, yeah, love the challenge, because finishing top in your group, there's a value to it. We'll go through the value in that in a sec, but it does matter, you know, in from a psychological perspective. But at this point, right now, telling us we're chasing a three, what does a 3-goal chase against a brilliant Napoli side, what's that stealing from? What pot of energy is that stealing from? I can't see how you can then go and put a big game down against Spurs at the weekend if you have to go hell for leather on Tuesday against Napoli.
Yeah, and I also don't know at the current moment if we can stop conceding stupid goals, and therefore if they get one goal, you don't need to be win by three, you need to win by four or whatever it is. So for me, it's one of those where the football stops in the Champions League until maybe February. Mm-hmm. By then, we'll have players back. Jürgen Klopp, I trust Jürgen Klopp and this Liverpool side to beat absolutely anyone in a two-legged game. Yeah. Well, tie. I just do. Yeah. So I'm always going to back myself. So yeah, I'd love that, you know, second game at home, which is what I absolutely adore. But I don't care, I'm still going to back my team over two legs, especially hopefully with people back from injury as well, and maybe, you know, we can add a couple of signs in January to add to that. So for me, it's not the end of the world. We need top four by every, that is the bare minimum what we need this season. Spurs are already nearly 6-8 points ahead of us. Can't let them go any longer, and back yourselves in the Champions League with a full squad.
Yeah, they're just for what it means to us, because I wonder whether this will impact people's decisions. Let us know if you're watching live in the comments. What you would you rather finish first or second? Just as a straight thing, regardless of the energy that goes into it. Going into the final group, the group games in Group B, Club Brugge are top. And Porto are second. There's only a point between them, so that could go either way. But that means right now, if Liverpool finish second, Club Brugge are a potential opponent for Liverpool in the round of 16. In Group C, Bayern have topped that group, 5 points between them and Inter, so that's set. So Bayern Munich is another potential opponent for Liverpool. In Group D, Spurs and Sporting, there's a point. Well, Spurs, Sporting, and Frankfurt, and in fact,
could be
actually,
anyone,
yeah, Marseille down to six, so it could be a whole bunch. But if Tottenham were to come top, then we obviously couldn't get them because of country protection. But that would there's a knock-on ramification of that. Which
you're more likely to get Bayern Munich or
exactly.
something.
Yeah. And the same goes for Group B, Chelsea top in that group. Same sort of scenario. Group F, Real Madrid are currently top over RB Leipzig. Group G, Man City top over Dortmund. Group H is PSG, Benfica. So if all those groups finish exactly as is, that means if we finish second, our potential round of 16 opponents is either Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid,
Bayern
Munich, yeah. or Club Brugge.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
Well, yes, I'll have a the Simon Mignolet derby if that's all the same with everyone else. Like, but to the point, you've got a 1 in 4 chance of drawing Bruges there, and that's not actually the case, because I haven't done the full workings out on this, but there will be other.
Yeah, fact they can't play. Be in the same part.
So, like, as an example of like Bayern won't be able to play Dortmund to a second in
and we'll City, only be able to get Real Madrid at some point down
they
the line.
They won't be able to play Frankfurt either, which is in the same group as Spurs.
Yeah. Exactly. So they'll be in a similar boat, and that'll limit the options or push them more likely towards us, etc. So that's the consideration, and therefore, as a result, just for talking's sake, if we were to finish top of the group and everything else stayed exactly the same, you're talking Benfica, Dortmund, Leipzig, Milan, Sporting Lisbon, Inter Milan, Porto.
Still not great, but
I'm sorry, but
I draw the Porto once again.
Yeah, no, I'm so bored of that. I'd pick Sporting. I mean, like, variation on the theme. Yeah, there's not one of them teams I would be arsed with us drawing. Whereas there's three teams.
Inter, I'd be arsed with drawing.
Oh
Inter.
No, I'm not bothered.
Inter's a shite.
I'd be bothered with them, mate.
I'm amazed that Napoli are as good as they are, because I thought we learned last season that Serie A was crap.
I think it still might be. I think Napoli have really hit on something. Yeah. I think that's more credit to them and their managing than anything else. I think Serie A is still pretty average. But Napoli are superb this season. Like,
well, you just in terms of while they're going so far. So, yeah, 12 games played in Serie A so far this season. 1-10, drawn 2, lost none. They got a plus 21 goal difference. Just 9 goals conceded and 30 scored in their first 12 games. 5 points ahead of Atalanta in second, 6 ahead of AC Milan in third. Yeah. Good team. Good team, to be fair. Kvitsa Kvaratskhelia, yes, has got 8 goals and 8 assists in 16 appearances in all comps for them so far. Osimhen, who we obviously recognise from their outing there as well, 8 goals, 1 assist, and then Giovanni Simeone has got 6. And what's interesting about Simeone, actually, is that the mass majority, that's actually Champions League, because I think I'm right in saying he's got 4 in the Champions League so far. And again, one of them being against us coming off the bench, because he was very well identified at that time. They're a threat, Chloe, and that's I don't know. Just part of me wants to stop feeling like a gigantic shit house on all this, but I don't know. This is I'm also not soft. I can see where our level is this season. Our level is not a team that can win two games a week, or moreover, they can't win 3 games in eight or nine days. It really seems to struggle with that. We just don't seem to have the legs or the energy, but. To European night at Anfield, we've won in worse circumstances. I feel like I can't imagine Liverpool's Jürgen Klopp is telling his team, don't worry about it, because that's just not how they do things.
You can't do that. That's a bad mentality. From a fan's perspective, I'm just trying to be realistic. First of all, Napoli are absolutely flying, and for reasons you've just mentioned why Liverpool might want to get first and top spot, they're the exact same reasons why Napoli would want to get top spot. and we could be absolutely unbelievable, and we have been unbelievable against Napoli and still only nicked it 1-0 here and there. So getting three goals is a big, big task against this side, especially when you're thinking you can't concede either. And they're flying. It's two different ends of the spectrum in terms of atmosphere around the clubs at the moment.
Yeah.
One's absolutely flying, the other had expectations to pretty much challenge for nearly everything and is not challenged for anything at the moment. But hopefully it's a distraction. Hopefully they can bounce, they can be angry at themselves from Leeds mm-hmm. and put it into this game. But my thing is you come away with any more injuries. I mean, I know you've got a World Cup coming up, so you could just rest them for that and get them back fit. I think you might lose more giving it absolutely everything than you are to just say fair enough, you'll take second place and keep everyone fit, try and do something against Spurs. And I don't want to say all you need is one really big win, but if we can get a couple of wins in the Premier League before we go into the break of the World Cup, and then you know you're getting your players back, you know there's a January transfer window, maybe we can change the outlook and the mindset of these footballers.
Yeah, it's just every logic I have and from watching Liverpool just has completely gone out the window because I would be saying, yeah, come on lads, it's there's four games to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see, just empty the tank. But I don't know, and we'll never truly know, I guess, the impact of the mid-season World Cup. And I don't want to cry on that too much because there's tons of other teams who've got loads of players going to the World Cup who don't seem to be struggling in the way that Liverpool are struggling with it. But I don't know, in normal circumstances, Jürgen would be saying that. He'd be saying, you're 2 weeks away from a holiday here.
Yeah.
Just go and pour everything you've got out there. But I don't know, that sounds like a sound starting point for me. We'll have to see whether that actually translates to the performance.
Yeah, like you referenced it, I'm not sure how much they have got left to give. I think that's half the problem. Like, yeah. They seem to be giving it in sort of fits and starts in games and sort of controlling small periods of games of football. You mentioned the Arsenal game earlier. There was a period in that where we were really good and we looked like a better team, but then all of a sudden we fall off that level and we just capitulate. Teams just pick us apart all too easily. So yeah. I think you're right. I think the most important game this week is that Spurs game. Like, listen, we'd all love to finish first, we know that, but it's a difficult challenge anyway. We've already qualified, that's the main thing. And I think you're both right. I think keeping some sort of pace with our top four is absolutely crucial, because all the reasons you mentioned about going to the World Cup, the reset, the maybe the January signings, that could mean nothing if we lose to Tottenham and then somehow contrive not to beat Southampton next week as well.
Yeah. You know what, though? What I will say is the times when we've looked the best this season is when we've been underdogs.
Yeah.
Manchester City was one of them. Mm. Maybe you give that speech from Jürgen and say, yous are underdogs in this, lads. You're not, yous have been playing fairly crap, let's be honest. You're nowhere near top four. Well, you're 8 points off it, which is several wins. But maybe you say to him, go and prove to everyone you can top the group. Go and get someone, not easy, but, you know, someone you'd like to come up against. And then we can go from there, because there's a load more games after this. You need to also pace yourself through them as well.
Yeah, it's a shame to not know this at this stage, because obviously this is one of those things where you're wrapped up, so you can kind of put it to bed. And there is a degree to that, you know. Klopp kind of intimates that with the press conference, mm-hmm. and being through already makes a big difference. And I think a lot of that might matter in how we substitute, not necessarily how we start. I think we'll probably go, we'll approach it with 60 minutes as we would any game. Mm-hmm. We'll play 60 minutes trying to win it, and then we'll go, there'll be the standard 2 to 3 pre-programmed fitness-based substitutions, and then there'll be another 2 or 3, yeah, which will be game states dependent. And he can decide, is there a benefit here to just pushing a little bit harder and going and get it done?
Yeah, I agree with that. And Klopp's done that in the past when we've qualified in top spot. Obviously, we've turned that team to Denmark and he went pretty strong. And obviously, we lost Jota on the back of that. So probably regrets it in many ways. But yeah, I think Klopp, judging by the press conference, feels like he owes it, A, to the players, in terms of, like, we need a performance. Whether it turns out to be 3-0 or not and enough to get us through, so be it. But if we win the game, that's another confidence boost.
Yeah.
We could go hell for leather, not get the 3-goal swing that we need, but we win the game. Happy days. And also, it kind of sounds as if he thought, we owe it to the fans, a full Anfield, a European night, like Chloe references earlier. Like, we're capable of anything. We've seen that on a day. And like you say, Paul, we've been in worse situations and come out on top.
Yeah.
I don't think it's likely, but I feel like Klopp won't just throw in the towel because it's not his style.
No, and also your point, that's just interesting. It does it's important. It keeps the wolf from the door. The reason why I'm so zen and I'm not frothing at the mouth about the whole thing, A, because I don't see any points. You know what I mean? It's just ultimately, it's my football team. I'm annoyed. But me being really angry about it doesn't make this situation any difference. It's just, it just giving more fuel to my own anger and making my life a bit more miserable. But also, I'm not as arsed because I was in Amsterdam last week and I watched us put a really good performance in. I was at Anfield the week before and I watched us beat Man City with a really good performance. So at the moment, we're not good enough to win back-to-back-to-back games, which we're going to need to figure out at some point. But I don't think we can afford to be picky with where we go for our wins. So yeah, you're right, we might not have it in us to go and win 3-0 or get the correct result to get us to top spot, but we've got to go out and try and win this game. We've got to go out and give it our best, because Tottenham could be at our best at the weekend. We could put all our best players in and Tottenham could just beat us, because Tottenham are a good team with a good manager, and then all of a sudden you've not given your all, and then you go and lose to Spurs, and then you've lost 3 games on the bounce, and that's a proper worry. So that'd be fair. One thing I want to ask you, Chloe, just looking at Napoli's fixtures, which I've not really considered up until this point, because we're very lost on how good they are, and you know, and how they're the informed team, and they'll want to top the group, etc., etc. They've got Atalanta on Saturday, who are of course second in Serie A at the moment. They're nearest sort of opponents on that. They've got an opportunity to put, what did I say before, that potentially make that an 8-point gap at the top of the league. That will be part of their focus too, and that's one thing that might play into our hands a little bit of, where do they go, how much do I really want to commit to this game? Because let's be honest, Napoli don't get to the round of 16 very often. Them being so good, they really haven't got much to, there's no more to really more for them to win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's hard to pick and choose, because when we were going up against Manchester City, you just said to your players, look, we need you to get through it twice this week. We need you to, and then there might be a Southampton along the line where we can change a couple of years out, but I need you to go for 2 more games. Yeah. Maybe that's what they just do with Napoli. I mean, they're already a good enough team. They've got some good subs as well there, people off the bench. And maybe you say, you know, you can tell how a game's going on 60, you know, whether to, okay, guys, you can just keep it in the tank if you really need. What I will say is, they're up against the Liverpool side where they'll be thinking to themselves, get after them, right? Yeah, in the first 5 minutes, you could be 1-0 up. Put the fear back into Liverpool, because it looks like they panic every time they're under pressure. Yeah. And if they have that feeling about Liverpool Football Club, they can go, they already beat us 4-1 and it was quite relaxing for them. If they do another 60 minutes of really, you know, they could do exactly what we do, where we could have 5 subs on the 60 mark, and then they've got half a fresh team. My thought is, with Liverpool, I don't think we have a lot of changes because of the injuries we have. So when we're all sat here, like I say, yeah, just forget about it, rest players, we can't really do that because we don't have all the players to rest.
Yeah, and I that's why I think the 60 mark's important for this game. A, for a start, like, stop conceding the first goal. And like, that went to ludicrous, weird new heights in the week, at the weekend, because, like, your goalie falling over, I mean. But if we can get to 60... and we've got a narrow lead, or it's still 0-0 or whatever, that's when you're going to see how much Napoli want it. And I think we're going to see how much we want it. And that's a really potentially big decision point. The game could be dead and buried if we don't approach this right, because I think you're spot on there, Chloe. If we've not got our heads right, and they come with the same level of verve, which there's no reason why they won't, because why wouldn't you? Liverpool are a vulnerable beast. There is a potential there for us to do that, of like, what do we do with our substitutions? And I wonder whether that might actually factor into our 11s, of do we go slightly weaker from the start and then have a couple of really big bangs on the bench? I don't know how we make that work with who we've got available, but it's a point anyway. Right, we're going to go through our 11s. We're going to get some injury updates and talk through the big decision points for the manager after this very short break. We've got a trivia question. Is, name the two players who have played for both Liverpool and Napoli.
Hello everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. While I've got you here for a minute, let me tell you about Red Men Plus, our amazing subscription service dedicated to all things Liverpool. Over on Red Men Plus, you will get access to the best premium content, including more podcasts that you'll enjoy. You'll get access to exclusive merch discounts, and you'll even get access to our very own Discord server and Facebook group. There's so much more to offer. To find out more, head over to www.redmenplus.com and get your subscription. nice one, and let's get back to the show.
Right, sound. Injury updates, so three still definitely out for the Reds. Matip still not, I suspect, is not quite there just yet. Naby is in training, we know that. And you mentioned before, the Ramsey and...
Canate are both good to go.
Canate should be good to go as well. Ramsey's forever going to be the interesting one, because until I see him play a game of football for us, he's not a Liverpool player. But I think the one of the decisions I've seen, and I pretty much blacked out social media over the weekend. I had a good day yesterday playing computer games and chilling and relaxing and not talking or thinking about football. But when I did see a couple of bits, I couldn't stay away enough, unfortunately. And I saw a lot of people critiquing the Trent for Milner, or the Milner for Trent substitution. It's where we're at. You know, he's our backup right back and he's done a good job there, you know, particularly against Manchester City. Mm-hmm. But the Ramsey thing at some point, and you imagine that it'll be Derby next week, it'll be the one that he's definitely penciled in for. But that would be an interesting shout at some point in this game, and whether he's that, give him 10 minutes at the end of the game, we'll know, I think, with 10 minutes to go, what type of football match it is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was surprised we didn't see him in Amsterdam, Max, last week, because Bajetic came on with sort of half an hour to go, and I spoke to Neil here last week, Neil Jones, and I think we both said we were expecting Ramsey to almost be the next one off the bench. You know, he never happened. And then he was included. He played for the under-21s on the weekend, wasn't part of our matchday squad again, then scored actually for the under-21s. So he's impressing clearly in the youth stuff. And I just want to see him. I just want to see him at some point. And in many ways, you know, if this game is wrapped up one way or the other, likely to be sort of petering out into nothing with Liverpool not getting first. That's just the way it's likely to go. I'm a realist. Yeah. It'd be really good to see Ramsey. And I think seeing Ramsey ahead of Milner as the right back would be a positive thing to take from the game, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. And also, I don't want to crap on anyone, but Milner is an option for midfield if you really need to take out. I mean, I don't know where Henderson's at. I thought he had a lot of intensity when he came on. Fabinho's nowhere near it. I wouldn't ask him to go again. Thiago didn't look great on the weekend, but he's just coming back from injury. So if you need to rotate them at any point, Milner's your option for midfield as well in that team. You don't look happy about it, and I wouldn't want it to happen potentially, but if you needed to rotate, then I could understand why.
The problem we've got in midfield for this is that Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain both can't play.
Yeah.
That's a huge sort of error in many senses that we've made in this.
Well, Klopp referenced it last week, didn't he? So basically, I was told they'd be out longer. And it's just, Steve put it, was part of one of Steve's many hyper-negative Liverpool tweets in the last couple of weeks. But the fitness department looks a shambles at Liverpool. You know, going back to the fact that, you know, the club doctor left in the summer, still hasn't been replaced. We're having injuries galore, and that is just a huge, like, at the bare minimum, it's a massive clerical error. You know what I mean? Where somebody's looked at and done some numbers and added them up wrong. Mm. And the idea that, like, I mean, it was referenced to Keita. In fact, it's on injury room, and it says about Keita on the 21st of October. Jürgen was quoted saying he was only involved in part of training, but will be from Monday on. He will be involved in full training after the Forest game. But Naby especially needs time. Mm. That strikes me that they obviously have to be careful with that. But you can't help but still go down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole with Naby Keita. And you know, if there was a problem with Naby, he'll be nowhere near the Liverpool team in the neck before the World Cup, because they'll keep him short.
Yeah.
The idea that Ox is back and in contention's mad, that he should be available when, you know,
he wouldn't be used anyway if he was available. Absolutely. He wasn't used against Leeds. He came on against Nottingham Forest and played in a position I've just not seen him play before.
What was Europe though? A team in blue. We played up front against Genk. That'd be
Oh great. I'm just not too sure.
It's still an oversight though, to your point earlier about not having the options to sort of rotate. Like, he would be an option to rotate.
But I just don't know whether Jürgen Klopp likes him enough, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. I've just got to be honest.
And that's one of the factor that we don't know about this. And this is me. There's no basis for this. This is me just pulling on a conspiracy thread. Your two surplus to requirement saleable assets are Naby Keita and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and you would be wanting to make sure that they get through to the January transfer window fit.
and available. And, you know, unfortunately with both of them, you don't get to choose where and when their injuries come. But there is a little bit to that of, like, you wouldn't want to do anything. I remember famously Rafa Benitez telling me about being at Inter Milan, and he walked in and he just didn't fancy Balotelli at all. And Balotelli was coming back from injury, I think, and he said he was on the exercise bikes. He's going, boss, should I go out and train? He's like, no, stay on the bikes, Mario. Stay on the bikes, because he just couldn't risk him picking up anything. But I think that's probably doing a bit of a disservice to Ox. You know,
I like him too.
He's not really what we need at the moment. I don't know what type of footballer he is anymore. I don't know. He's not going to play. I can't see him playing in a two in midfield.
Nope.
He can certainly play in one of the wide positions if we need to. And he's done a passable job playing in the false nine on a couple of opportunities for us. I mean, maybe there's that. You know, I talk about having big bangs left on the bench is maybe you put your start in one of the two up front. And that keeps back Nunes for the later half of the game, or Salah back for the later half of the game, or Bobby or something. Then you've got someone who's carries a bit of fear factor, because that was our problem against Forest, and we've then seen against Leeds, is you're chasing a game and you're throwing centre halves up front and you're throwing the goalie up for corners and you're bringing Oxlade-Chamberlain as a nine. I'm sorry, but if I'm a team defending a lead and you're seeing that coming on, you're going,
yeah,
happy days, it's gotten easier for us.
And that's part of the problem in our sort of lull at the moment, is that we are having to sort of send out our best 11, certainly when it comes to Premier League games. And if opposition, Forest and Leeds in particular, are dealing with that up towards the hour mark, they must be going mentally, going, we've dealt with the best they've got here. Yeah. They've got nothing else to come. Like, that bench, there's some talent on there in terms of Carvalho's and Curtis Jones's of this world. But realistically, if we've dealt with Salah, Nunes and Firmino, we're laughing. Whereas in previous weeks gone by, or earlier this season, it was Diaz and Jota potentially to come on. And then you're thinking, God, we've kept these out for an hour. It's just going to get harder. That's gone a little bit now.
The thing with Ox that I thought against Nottingham Forest was that we just didn't have any width. We saw it again against Leeds. I was like, who the hell is on the left here? And it was just Robbo all game, which is fine if we're creating enough chances and we're in the spaces we need to be. But we didn't make the pitch big enough, which just made it easier. Firmino was nowhere to be seen at times, got phased out, which is why in those games, you might as well try Ox or Carvalho and just say, last 10-15 minutes, let's change it. It's not been working. Add something else. Give them something else to think about.
It goes back to it, though. This is the problem with changing formation, is that at the moment, we are... I think we're hitting teams with the surprise factor. I think we certainly did that in Ajax. I think they weren't prepared for us to line up the way they did. I think a similar kind of thing happened with Rangers and Man City. But good teams catch up pretty quickly. It's not hard to go, you know, well, they've changed to like a 4-2-4. So teams go, okay, well, let's just watch how they did that and then let's move our men accordingly. Mm-hmm. So because it's not trained, it means that all of Pep Linus's book is about doesn't really matter, because our team is so good, they figure it out on the pitch, but they're not doing that at the moment. We're not well drilled, and we haven't got the players seemingly, or certainly the fitness levels, to be able to handle any given situation. So we're in an awkward position where moving Salah central has now robbed us of all of our pace down the right hand side. Carvalho is absolutely quality, but you're asking a 19-year-old lad to be at the top of his game each and every week, which is not what 19-year-old lads bring to football teams. Though Kurt, so sorry for him, but he had 5 minutes of looking absolutely electric, and then he played a couple of bad passes and it's like his head went, and he really struggled to fighting against himself after that. So it is a bit of a mess. The Ox thing, I think, is probably a decent shout. I wouldn't be against just chucking it. If you're going to play Salah central, put Ox left or right.
I'd like Harvey Elliott off the left as well, like a natural left
old
footer.
School 4-4-2, yeah. Left footer on the left hand side.
Darwin Nunes up top with the banging them in headers, absolutely. Give me that.
I know, but
it's not going to happen.
No, I know. On the formation stuff, then, Dan, what do you reckon? Persist with the diamond, or go back to 4-2-4, or back to 4-3-3?
I can't sit here and advocate for that diamond again. I can't, honestly. And I know you're right about the Ajax thing and the Amsterdam performance. Listen, 3-0 away win in Europe, you know, perfection in many senses. Guarantees your spot in the last 16. That diamond isn't it for me. And like, to Chloe's point earlier about the left-hand side, it's far too vacated. Like, Nunes quite clearly doesn't want to do it out there. Firmino, obviously not. And Salah, the opposite. So it just is a bit messy. It's like, there's some footballers, go and do it. That
it
doesn't
work.
It
leaves a space that compromises what we're trying to be careful with, and that's keeping the door shut. And the problem I found, because I was trying to figure out what we were doing in Ajax from the corner of the pitch up high, which is, you know, not the easiest of things. But I thought for a long period we were back to 4-3-3. I didn't quite clock that it was a diamond. But all I would have, well, if we're playing 4-3-3, the problem is here, Trent should be 30 yards higher up on the right-hand side, and he's not, because he's clearly being, you know, stay in your lane, stay in the back four, make sure we stay compact. That's the thing that's lacking. You play midfield, that diamond, it's so narrow, and your width has got to come from your full-backs. But the problem is with the diamond is it's a lone six, and then you're asking midfielders to come in and sit in alongside, which you can do, but then it's just a fucking mess. There's not a formation at the moment that fits what we need to do, because Darwin Nunes seemingly can't play on his own in a 4-3-3 up front, so we're trying to find a way to kind of make that work. Salah, when we were playing at 4-3-3 at the start of the season, we'd done what we did, but he was too far away from goal, so at least Salah's closer to goal here, so we're getting a little bit more out of him. He looked well more dangerous, but the midfield balance is all over the place. Fabinho seemingly can't play in the six on his own at the moment, because he's just all at sea, late to every tackle, you know. My only thing is, I would just say go back to 4-3-3 and stick it out. And I don't quite know what that looks like. That's, you know, but it's the most tried and tested of what we got. We're not getting any more consistency from anything else we've done.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I said it before the City game, I don't want to sort of like wise after the event, sort of, but I said go back to 4-3-3 and just get back to basics, because the form isn't there. These players aren't in peak form at all. You can't be changing formation while they're like this, because they're not playing very well. If you're not playing very well and then trying something new on top of it, it's just looking messier and messier for me. I just don't like it.
Yeah, thoughts?
4-2-4.
Yeah.
I might as well at this point, to be perfectly honest with you. 4-3-3 wasn't working at the start anyway. Like, it just wasn't. We were conceding goals left, right, and
centre. But the problem was with 4-3-3 is we had no midfielders, so we didn't have the bodies to play in midfield.
I also think wasn't correct.
Well, that's
the exact
true.
Same.
Yeah.
Every
that's
formation
the same thing,
has got the problem with the pressing, and if we're not on the pressing, then there's a problem. I know the two midfielders got a bit isolated.
The problem with the 4-2-4 is it's not 4-2-4, it's 4-4-2, because we don't have Diaz and Jota to play up front.
Yeah.
So you're asking your wide forwards to be two from four now of Kurt, Carvalho, Harvey Elliott, and Oxlade-Chamberlain. And there's no goals in that. I mean, there is, because Harvey Elliott scored a good goal last week, and Carvalho's clearly got a goal. They can all score a goal, but none of them are 20 goal a season forwards. And that's the difference when you take lads who are effectively not goal scorers and push them into goal scoring positions. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to see a drop off in your output. And I take your point on this. To my point is, we moved away from 4-3-3 because we didn't have enough midfielders to play three in midfield. We probably still don't, because we can't play Ox, in this game. We can't play Naby, but it's I don't know. It's a fucking mess, is what I keep coming back to. There's no right answer.
4-2-4 just excites me most, and when it's graft watching Liverpool Football Club already, I want something that's a little bit more exciting. That's the only way I can put it, to be honest. And what's the point if you're trying to work on this 4-2-4 system to then go back to the 4-3-3 and just say, yeah, lads, we tried that, it doesn't work, it's crap, let's go back to what we were doing last year, what we did at the start of the season. He's just got to pick a formation and go with it, because changing formations week in, week out, it's just a little bit confusing.
I wouldn't be against if we want to rotate things around. I'd like to see Carvalho in one of the two central positions, if I'm honest. He doesn't feel a natural fit for that left-hand side, because he's never really played it. He constantly wants to drift inside. If you wanted to give Bobby a little bit of a break, if we're sticking with what we're doing, you know, like a diamond or even 4-4-2, put Salah back on the right, try Carvalho up alongside Nunes and keep Bobby back, or similarly just I don't know, there aren't tons of options in there. I really don't know. It's mad. It's genuinely mad, because I said we haven't bought for any of these formations.
No.
You could do 4-3-3. You can just go back to Fabinho, Thiago Henderson, or you could put Elliott in one of them midfield positions, or you can put Kerr Jones in one of those midfield positions, because again, he's played it plenty of times. And then, sad. the Fabinho stuff, I would be arguing in any other season, Tan, yeah, keep him fresh for, definitely keep him fresh for Spurs because you need him in your big games. Mm-hmm. And that's still technically true. But it's not, maybe not from the way we think it is. I mean, he's played the fourth most minutes of any Liverpool player this season in all comps.
Mm, you can tell.
Yeah. No, but it's true.
You can, yeah. It's such a difficult one, Paul, because it's impossible to know what to do with him right now. You look at his performances and think, God, he needs a rest. But on the flip side of that, you think, God, he needs form as well. He's so integral to what we do.
Yeah.
You want to keep him in to get him back to any sort of resemblance of form. But then you just, again, you think, God, he just needs a few games off if we can find it anywhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I just don't know what the answer is because he's had a bit of time off. But the problem is, and again, I was a bit surprised at this, that Van Dijk's most minutes followed by Alisson, Mohamed Salah's third, obviously, and then it's Fabinho, and then it's Trent. And Fabinho and Trent, Trent had a little injury thing which took him out for a bit. We've just played Virgil back into some semblance of form, certainly improved form, if not his actual level, top level. Nothing quite seems to be jumpstarting Trent and Fabinho quite right in the same way. And Fabinho, for me, is the most obvious. I know Trent draws the eyes, but we're not keeping the door shut because there's no one screening the back four properly. When we take him out, Henderson's having a better season. He's not having a great season. And Thiago's having a better season, but there's literally then two lads you trust to play in your midfield.
I just don't. I've got no answers for you. I just don't know what to do with Fabinho. His wife took an L last night on Twitter.
Which is this for the political stuff?
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
Stuff,
to be fair, both of them are having a torrid time on Twitter and everywhere else. I've said it for a couple of weeks. I'd keep Fabinho away, as far away as you can from the starting 11 at this moment. But my only problem is if there's a game where I need to give rotation to people, I'd probably play Fabinho then. To be honest, because I'd probably want Henderson, Thiago to go against Spurs.
Yeah.
That'd be my midfield too if we're playing 4-2-4. So maybe I'd put Fabinho in, and maybe it's a game where no one really does anything. Maybe they know they want top spot. Maybe Liverpool know that they can't really score three goals, and we just sound whatever. Get 60, 70 minutes under your belt, doing whatever. It's just smart. One of the best CDMs, defensive midfielders, so DMC. Sorry. One of the best midfielders.
Six.
Yeah. There's four different ways to say it.
Holder.
And it feels like he's fell off a cliff. I just don't know what's happened to Fabinho, because he used to be the reason we pinned people back, recycled the ball, went again, and he just got that
you
tired.
Just couldn't
you found
get the
everything.
Ball round him because his telescopic legs are reaching broche. You couldn't get it over him because he's 6'3" and he was good in the air. And if you went head to head with him, he was more aggressive and more strong, so he'd beat you to it. And
he'd also take a tactical foul, which no one's doing this season as well.
It was his reading in the game, it was so superior to everybody else's, and that seems to be where it's gone first. Couple that with the fact his physicality, he's took a couple of steps down as well. He's quite literally all over the place.
I wouldn't be against giving Stefan Bajicic this one, to be perfectly honest. If you put him alongside Thiago, and even if it's only for 45 minutes, and just that way you're putting a bit more back into Henderson's tank. If the game is still goalless at half time, then you've given yourself a 45-minute chase there when you can put Fabinho and Henderson on if you want, and decide what formation you want to go from there. And then both of them should be then capable of being fresh for the weekend if you need them. But we said this: the lads who are suffering most are the ones who haven't got the competition, and there is no one still who you go. Even if Fabinho's in crap form, if you were playing one man anchor in the midfield, you'd still choose Fabinho for that, because he's still our specialist. He's still the guy who's best on his day, best at doing that. But I must be baffling. Must be genuinely baffling for the management team sometimes, just looking at them going, or they know again, and they can't openly come out and say they're all goosed because we've got pre-season wrong, or for a variety of other reasons. But I'm sure everyone is at home just kind of like scratching their heads looking at it going, like, what whatever you need, give it to them. unless they just think and get to the winter, he'll go to the World Cup, but probably won't play loads, and maybe that's enough to give him a bit of a kick. But I don't know. I could think of a million reasons why Fabinho's not on it, from his wife's fascist shagger, like, you know what I mean, to he wants to make sure that he's fit to play in a World Cup and everywhere in between. It's mad.
You know what's mad though? The competition thing, I think's massive there, because I think Robbo's been one of our best players so far this season, or at least in the last couple of weeks. And why? Because when he was out, Costas stepped up a little bit. And Luis Diaz, he was still in the part of, okay, I've still only just joined, I need to give something here. Then we bought Darwin Núñez in, who could play left wing if needed. Okay, we had Jota there as well. Luis Diaz was on form. Jota came in and out, I didn't mind him. Núñez looks like he's fighting for something, because he's only just came here. So the players actually look like they've... I mean, Alisson Becker doesn't really need to prove anything, but he's still unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that competition's massive, because our best players so far this season are players who... if you rotated it and put a Jota in, or put a Costas in, Firmino, Núñez, Salah up top, you'd think, oh yeah, go for it, happy with that rotation.
Yeah.
Every other part of the pitch where you're like, nope, Thiago's got to go in every game, no, nope, Henderson or Fabinho's got to, there's no competition there to fight for them.
Yeah, Konate being back will help us with a lot of things that we're trying to do as well. You know, you could just do with him having a run. If he could just play every game between now and the break, I think we'd see us being just a better outfit as a result of it. I think Gomez has been okay. I like Joe Gomez. I've got a lot of time for him, but there's a reason he looks like our fourth choice centre half at this point. We just need something. And again, there's too many intangibles, and unfortunately, we're all filling those gaps with everything we've dreamt up along the way, and none of them can be disproven. They're all perfectly valid. Liverpool just need to win some football matches and see how we see where we stand. We're going to take a short break. We had a couple of people join us as members here on YouTube. Frantic Fall and The Axe both joined us. Wonder Kids, thank you so much for that. Scott Hawke sent us a super chat, which I will just quickly locate. And he says, a sinus infection and the team are competing for my biggest headache at the moment. I hope we don't worry too much about Napoli. Get through the next 2 weeks and hire a doctor to get us back in shape for the new year. Yeah, I think we might need one of them as well, to be honest. It's just, you just don't want the season to be dead and buried. Now, the good thing is that Champions qualification is assured. You can make that a better prospect by giving yourself an easier draw by topping this group. And as I say, hopefully that still exists in possibility, because we're only a couple of weeks ago from everyone saying we were going to get dicked everywhere from Man City, and we beat them. So, you know, we certainly know it's possible. I want the league to be as healthy as it can possibly be, and that's what follows. So I can't help but feel on edge about having to play a football match that technically doesn't matter. Anyway, right, short break, and then we're going to be picking our 11. See you in a sec.
Hey, you wonderful podcast listener, get back to the show very, very shortly. Just want to give you a heads up about our merchandise store, redmenmerch.com. Go over there, check it out. Some amazing t-shirts, books, gifts, absolutely everything you need for the Liverpool fan in your life, or indeed just to treat yourself. So yeah, head on over to redmenmerch.com, check out the amazing products that we've got on offer. I'm sure you'll love them, and I'm sure you're going to love the rest of this show too.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Elevens then. I don't, there's not tons of choice here, is there? But we'll see what the guys fall down on. Dan, what are you going for?
Yeah, well, Ali in goal, obviously. Sure. Just on your point of a second ago, Chloe, I think he's actually fighting for Brazil's number one shirt, to be honest with you. I think that's a part of the reason he's been so superb. Yeah. But yeah, also, so I go Trent at right back. Just Trent at right back. I bring Canate back in alongside Virgil van Dijk. I will be going Tsimikas for this one. That's just a little bit of rotation. It doesn't diminish our levels too much. I'll be going back to 4-3-3. Yeah, like aforementioned. So I'd be Henderson in the six, just to give Fabinho that bit of rest. Elliot and Thiago. I'd be Curtis Jones from the left-hand side of a three. Okay. And I'd be Nunes and Salah alongside.
Interesting. I wasn't expecting that. That was more. There's more talking points in there than I thought there was going to be. Excellent.
I'd stick with the 4-2-4 because I don't see him going back to the 4-3-3, and that's the only reason. Ali in goal, Trent, Canate, Virge, Costas, Fabinho in there. Alongside maybe Henderson if he can go again. My front four's where it gets a little bit mad. I'd put Carvalho in behind Roberto Firmino with Nunes off the left and Harvey Elliott on the right. Salah won't want to miss out. But if Salah needs a break, to be fair, no, he's not going to the World Cup, Salah on the right.
Yeah. Sure. There's got to be something, you know, freshness is definitely a consideration in this. But you're right, we're now in the world of, everyone's a bit like, the Toffee Boys are having good fun. I think we will end up back at 4-3-3 before too long. It's just whether we're doing it now. And I just, the reason why we'll likely stick with two up top, whether that's as a diamond or 4-4-2, 4-2-4, is because the two lads most likely to score goals are Darwin Nunes and Mohamed Salah, and having them closer to the goal is seems to be the answer. Like, we'll just hopefully score our way out of trouble for a couple of weeks. I kind of agree with you, Dan, to be honest. I would probably go Henderson in the six, Thiago as a three, Thiago on the left. I'd go Curtis Jones right of the three, and then I would go Carvalho, Firmino and Salah, and keep Nunes on the bench. And then you've got that, is it him as that fuck it lunatic to throw on and run around for half an hour if we're really chasing something?
Do you think he goes 4-3-3 before, when you've got 2 weeks left? Do you think he goes back?
They're not well trained in the other formations either. This is still the formation they all know best. Particularly if you've got Bobby Firmino playing in the nine, you know, so there's certainly that as a consideration. Curtis Jones has played both sides of that midfield plenty of times. It could be Elliott just as easily. He's done it. Curtis Jones probably done it lots more because of the COVID season. There's nothing that fits, because for 4-3-3, we've not got there's no one good enough to play that left hand side in the way that we need it to be played. And again, that you need to be a minimum 15 goal a season forwards to play in a front three for Liverpool, and we haven't got anyone who is that to play from the left. Maybe you could, again, we could do something wild and put Nunes out there, I guess. But to do 4-2-4 again, you just put midfielders in the wide positions. If you're going to do that, if you're going to play Curtis Jones left in like a four, then you might as well just play him in a midfield three, because at least he's played there. I think he's got potential to be good on the left of a left either attack or midfield, because he's got that skill set, but he's not trained that for years. He did that for the under-21s, but he's not been doing it for the senior team. Everything involves an element of, like, it's like you're robbing percentages from somewhere on the pitch to put somewhere in some other position. 4-3-3 for me feels like our players were bought for that, they were trained for that, and maybe you compromise. I know we can't do Ox. I've contradicted myself about five times during the show, but you know, you know, if you have to that in at the weekend, if you want to just play Ox in the front three, you'll do that, because he did that last January for us as well. Let us know.
It was already hard to predict a Liverpool starting lineup and a formation, you know, earlier on in the season. Never mind a game where half of us just think rest everyone and the other half think no, go for it. Yeah, it's pretty impossible to know what Jürgen's going to do.
I actually really like the 4-2-3-1 as a formation. I actually think it is something that does work for Liverpool, or could work certainly in the future. I don't have any sort of ill feeling towards it. I just think, given the state that we're in terms of availability and form, I think reverting to type in the 4-3-3, like you said, is what we know best, is what we do. And you just ask your key players, your Henderson, your Virgil van Dijk, your Salahs, to do their role and to do it well. And yeah. That sounds so simple to say, but I think we're at that now. And I think trying to throw a different formation at it, whether it be 4-2-4 or whatever, just confuses matters even more. And that's certainly how it looks at the minute. They're trying to get form back whilst also trying to play in a completely different manner, and it's just not happening in the slightest. Yeah. So, and you are right, it's a little bit sort of square pegs, round holes in terms of Curtis Jones on the left-hand side. That could easily be Carvalho, by the way, in my line, quite easily. But I think Jones could do it. Not a huge fan, I'm well documented, not being a huge fan of Nunes doing it. I'm not entirely sure there's a future in that. I think he has to be central.
You're wasting him as a forward option by putting him out
massively
wide.
Massively so.
And yeah, that's where we're at. And that's just the unfortunate situation where we're at, is Salah doesn't feel great from the right-hand side this season. Firmino, we're well past Firmino playing either side of a front three. years past that. Nunes clearly better through the middle than out wide, although, you know, we could do
against
worse and
City,
try
though,
that.
I thought he came on and he was ragging them what.
And that's something as a
we're talking cameos,
thing.
I think.
I don't know what's good. I've had enough.
We genuinely, I think everyone's kind of feeling it. You can see it. I don't want the World Cup. Bollocks to the World Cup. World Cup can eat a shit less, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, I just want to watch Liverpool play and be better. But it's just, we're all at that point. I think we can all safely say we're all having our heads done in, and we're turning our anger on all kinds of random things as a result, because there's got to be a reason. It's got to be someone to blame for why Liverpool are like they are, you know, because they've taken this slip down. But Liverpool, the players, it's ultimately for me, it comes down to the players, you know, whether that's because we needed more. The ones that we've still got footballers there, they can still dig deep and find ways to go. I just look at them, and if they can't for any physiological reason, then I feel sorry for them. Well, then come out and kind of say, I'm going to have that opinion until someone taps me politely on the shoulder and says, here's the spreadsheet that says here's what they can and can't do, and I could be understanding with that. But the fact that they're getting outrun in every other game says to me that they're running on empty. I don't know. And unfortunately, you're left with random situations. Seeing someone in the comments saying moving Trent into midfield, I'm bang up for trying that, but you need Calvin Ramsey fit if you're going to do that. And the problem with putting him in, we've not bought him as a solid right back. We've bought him as an attacking right back. Yeah. So is he going to solve our defensive issues? I've got no idea. Maybe he will. Maybe he's the complete right back and we found an absolute star, you know, but there's odds are he's probably a bit raw. He's probably got loads of exciting stuff going forward, but might need a bit more training than the other thing. And then you're just opening up another can of worms and ruining a young player for pushing him in too soon. It's a fucking nightmare. And it's not because, I mean, this team's well worse off than us, but we're in the round of 16 of the Champions League, and we've got
to be fair.
Boss players. But
you don't need to get top four if you're in the Champions League, you know what I mean?
Keep saying this.
Yeah.
Where's the finalist? Oh yeah, try again.
Well, I made that point at the weekend because on Twitter because I said it had COVID season vibes, and it had a bit of like 2009-2010 vibe to it as well, where our league form took a hit in the first five games and it absolutely capsized what we were doing. We'd lost more in the early season than we'd done in like the entire seasons previous to this. But this has got the 04-05 vibes because we just couldn't do two games. There was one spell in the entire season where we won three league games back to back, but every time we get a couple of good results, you draw a couple and you lose one, and that's top. It's like between fourth and seventh form when you're like that. But that's what's the most infuriating and hard to judge where Liverpool are, is we can beat Man City and we can beat Ajax and we can snot Rangers. We can go into these big environments and big atmospheres and go and find ways to dig deep. We're clearly capable of doing it, but there's just that, for whatever reason, we just now can't do it week in, week out. But I was talking to my dad, it used to be said that winning two games of football a week was really hard. Mm-hmm. We used to always say the European hangover. Teams always would have a really big result in midweek, whether it was Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, and then they'd struggle at the weekend. Mm-hmm. And we don't talk about that anymore because we've had 4 years where we've basically been impeccable. Yeah. Every game, twice a week, and our biggest meltdown to where we might draw two games back-to-back in that period. But that's where we're at as a team. We're no longer a 90-plus point team, not this season anyway, with all the things going on. We're not a shit team. I don't think there's a catastrophic problem at Liverpool. It's just that we're just a normal good team.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and you're dead right. Like, we've been near perfection, haven't we, for so long. So see us as we are now, it was a little bit of a shock to the system in many ways. But there have been teams, not just Liverpool, but Liverpool have done it enough times, but the league form's been a little bit patchy, but they've gone on this crazy run in Europe and they've ended up winning it or getting the final, whatever it might look like. And they've almost had to sacrifice their league form at some point during the season. And Listen, we may well be in that boat at some point further down the line. If we do manage to get through the last 16 and we're suddenly in the last eight, we might have to take a look at the league and go, oh, do you know what? Eggs in the basket time. And we've done that as Liverpool fans numerous times before. So, yeah, we may well get there. But like you say, we're capable of these epic performances and displays, especially in Europe down the years, that we might just have to do that. It'd be nine times. Will it more? Yeah. You know, you never know. We are capable of that. It sounds crazy when you look at the results. I think, no, not this side. But
you wouldn't be back. I wouldn't be putting my house on it. But I also wouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't also against not put money on. Yeah, exactly. But I wouldn't be against putting a chunk of change on it. You know what I mean? Just out of interest. Couple of fixtures, the fixtures of note, also in the Champions League. Early kickoffs on Tuesday: Porto, Atletico Madrid, Leverkusen versus Bruges. Again, that'll be interesting to see whether Bruges can top that group and potentially put them into our pot. Bayern, Inter, obviously us, Napoli is the 8 o'clock on the Tuesday. Marseille, Tottenham, Rangers, Ajax, Plitzen, Barcelona, Sporting versus Frankfurt. And then on Wednesday, Real, Celtic, Shakhtar, Leipzig, Milan, Salzburg, Maccabi Haifa, Benfica, Copenhagen versus Dortmund, Man City versus Sevilla, Juventus, PSG, and Chelsea versus Dinamo Zagreb. The Chelsea thing is a good example of that as well, isn't it? You know, decent, good, really good results in the week and then got absolutely pantsed by the in the Premier League. Anywho,
you know what we did? Spurs have a chance not to go through, though, don't they?
They could finish bottom, I think. Yeah. I think they could still finish bottom.
So
perhaps
that could make my life feel a little bit better if we had Marseille and Sporting as two. I wouldn't like to go to Marseille, to be honest. Yeah. But Frankfurt as well, in there, potentially. Yeah.
Just on that as well, it does give Spurs a must-win game heading into our game.
Yes,
you know what I mean? So that's a positive to take from it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, completely agree on that one.
I also don't know whether you did your trivia answer. I'm not going to lie.
Spot on, Chloe. Well done. Well done. I asked so many moons ago to name the two players to have played for both Liverpool and Napoli. And the answers are?
De Senna.
And Pepe Reina.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Well done. Give yourselves a big pat on the back if you got that one right half an hour ago. Thank you for joining us on this one. We'll get your score predictions and then we'll head out. What do you reckon?
Liverpool win 2-1.
Yeah.
Cool. I was going to say 2-1, but I'll go 1-0 then for Liverpool.
I will take then. I don't take, I won't be happy with it, but 3-1.
Okay.
Because I mean, this is very.
Oh my God, that's how much heartbreak do you want us
to
go through?
No, but that's what we're at. But it's not that it's heartbreak. More like there's a bit of a climb to it. You know what I mean? I either want us to do it, or us to win, and it be enough that you can go, I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to be truly disappointed on it, but I want it to be as close to being a thing as possible. So you're taking positives from it. Being able to score goals is a big positive. It's one of the things that we're lacking right now. We're just not being clinical enough in front of goals. So yeah, take that, albeit through gritted teeth. Right, sound. let us know your thoughts, your 11s, and your score predictions in the comment section underneath. If you listen to this on podcasting apps and you want more podcasting quality content in your ears, you can head to redmenplus.com and get that, as well as the video content as well. But yes, guys, thank you so much for joining us. An absolute pleasure. The watch along will be on Tuesday night with Steve and Errol, me and Chris and Chloe. You got the game?
Of course.
We'll be at the game as well. So yeah, check us out post-match and have a boss week. Ta-da. If you want more, an extra Red Men podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Red Men Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Red Men Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.